Right. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another one of our live shows. And I hope this one finds you fine and well. We didn't do one yesterday. We normally do on a Monday, but it was a holiday and people are allowed to have a little break. So if you had a night, hope you had a nice holiday yesterday. But we're back to the front, the information front that we enjoy fighting here. So wherever you're watching this, I know we're putting it out in Getter and Rumble and even on YouTube and Facebook. Hi, Angela. Good to see you there, as well as on the Twitter sphere. So we are broadcasting this in as many places as possible. So I hope you'll enjoy this. We've got a really interesting topic. But before we get to that, a quick word from our sponsors at Quantum Hypno.
Play. Hi, I'm Sarah Jane Smith. Find your path by doing my new Millionaire's Mindset Hypnosis. I help you to break any subconscious thought patterns that are stopping you from obtaining all of your goals. The truth will then come to the forefront of your mind that you are worthy and deserving of achieving everything. You'll start to attract the right people into your life. Opportunities will open up as a result. Financial success is a natural outcome from being clear and focused. Everything will literally fall into place when you do what you love. People are already enjoying mind-blowing success with this incredible session. So what are you waiting for?
Right, that's Quantum Hypno. Do check out the link below and do support them. You know, those of us in the alternative media don't have access to the, what is it, around about 3.8 billion a year that the BBC gets. So, you know, it's weird hard to compete with them if you don't have some support. And Sarah's keen, supports me, and so you should support them. Right. Let's get on with the show. So listen, we have, you can always tell that I like people because they become returning guests. If they don't return, I'm not, never, maybe not, it didn't just go as well as I expected. But we have someone coming on now who's been on, he was complaining before he came in the studio here, he'd forgotten, it's been so long, which, but it was because I see him so often, you see, I assume that he is always, he's always here. Sorry about that, my screen. This for just glitch in the matrix here, folks. My screen suddenly froze. Anyway, we're going to go down the parasites rabbit hole. We're going to go down that one and a few other bits and bobs as well. So look, without any further ado, let's bring him in the studio, Mr. David McCollum. Hi, David.
Hi, David.
Good to see you, the healthy gut guru. And do we flash up David's site. So if you, before we go any further, I mean, I can speak from personal experience that David is a really sound advisor when it comes to health and just generally how you can take care of yourself, which keeps me, despite being 90 year old, I don't look a day over, you know, 70. So anyway, it's all thanks to David and his good advice. So do make sure you check out David's site as well, and we'll bring it up and hopefully you'll go there and get good quality information about health. So David, I'd contacted you because I wanted you to come on. I wanted someone with real knowledge to come on and talk about parasites in terms of health. And we're going to do that. We're going to get to that in a minute or two. But before we do that, I didn't want to let the occasion pass without mentioning to you the fact that we've had the COVID inquiry circus here in Northern Ireland for, I think, the last couple of weeks. And I wonder I don't know if you followed any of it, but what's your impression, David?
To be honest, like the COVID inquiry in the mainland, it's just going to be the usual whitewash. You know, there's going to be lots of finger pointing and swearing, and nobody's going to be held accountable for anything. I think more and more people are starting to realize that much that we discussed from the beginning, and this is how obviously we met, David, through you putting stuff on Facebook about statistics and stuff, and I reached out to you on that's over 3 years ago, and we've become brilliant friends since then, that we realized what a scam it was in so many ways, you know. And it was never about a, it was never about a COVID pandemic. It was a scamdemic that was designed to create fear and coercion and control in so many ways, and restrict our lives and freedoms. And so many sheep followed that path. And as soon as the COVID finished, then it was on to the Ukraine war. And then the next thing is climate change. And it's just one scam after another to distract us. And but I just think it's going to be a complete whitewash. I think a lot of people are starting to realize, a lot of people are regretting having taken the jabs, just because a lot of them have just had things like general fatigue problems, and more people are getting sick more frequently. And certainly, I think Paul Frew, the MLA in Northern Ireland, who's the only person who's really spoken out,
the only one
in politics within Northern Ireland about this, and has championed the cause of those who have been injured. Like he pointed out, the first 15 weeks of last year, there was roughly just 105, 106 excess deaths. Fast forward to the first 15 weeks of this year, and we're looking at over 500. You know, that's a 400% increase in excess deaths. And everyone's turning a blind eye to it. Mm. And we know the reason why. Because as soon as they start to highlight the fact that these poisonous jabs have damaged so many people and will continue to, if it's highlighted and made public, and they do, and they actually do an inquiry like they've done with the Royal Mail scam, you know, regarding mm-hmm. the Fujitsu computer thing, that it opens a Pandora's box for claims, you know, offering £120,000 for life-changing illnesses is an absolute embarrassment. Mm-hmm. You know, personally, my mum, as I intimated before, my mum got cancer out of this, and she's done well. She's recovered well. 2 weeks ago, my uncle had two brain bleeds. My ex-brother-in-law had three clots in his heart. My ex-father-in-law developed Parkinson's out of this. It hits home when it's someone close to you. Yep. But every day that you turn on the news, or even in local towns, like I was talking to a gentleman, friend of mine, who knows one of the local funeral directors, who said he has a 46% increase in business since the beginning of the year. So that's what they need to be focusing on, you know. But they're just going to, you know, repeat the same mantra. Oh, we should have locked down sooner. Everything, the evidence shows that the lockdowns failed. Masks don't work. The shots never stopped transmission. They didn't stop admissions. And if anything else, those people who have had the most shots have the highest morbidity and mortality rates. And the countries that have the highest usage of the vaccines, like I think in Canada, they're talking about 85% of people having vaccine-induced associated immune deficiency syndrome, basically AIDS they've got out of this. And it's also interesting that a lot of the doctors in the alternative field of medicine, who are always researching beyond what Big Pharma wants to talk about, have actually exposed some interesting things that they've found when they've looked at the shots. You know, for example, there are multiple laboratories who have actually looked at the vials of vaccines and found no mRNA in it, even though we were told these were mRNA shots. But what they did find was significant contamination of bacterial DNA plasmids. You put DNA in there and it interacts with your own genetic DNA. What's that going to do? Well, we're seeing it. We're seeing turbo cancers. We're seeing, especially amongst young people, we're seeing cancers that we've never seen before. We're seeing extreme damage to the immune system. But some of the commentators who have actually investigated have found some interesting stuff in the vaccines. One of the things they've found is a substance called a hydrogel, which actually seems to be able to self-recreate it into itself into like an artificial parasite. Numerous other commentators have found genomic sequencing for snake venoms, Chinese crate snake and Chinese king cobra. And the thing about, if there is genomic sequencing in the shots for these particular types of poisons affect parts of the brain that control your respiratory system and control your autonomic nervous system, called your parasympathetic nervous system. So if they bind onto these receptor sites called nicotinic cholinergic receptor sites, that is a significant, causes significant depression in the parasympathetic nervous system that regulates your respiration, your heart rate, etc. So, and it's interesting that those countries where you have the largest users of nicotine, because nicotine binds to these receptor sites. So even in China,
yeah,
the population where there's a lot of smokers, the nicotine from the smoking actually blocked the poison from the vaccine binding to the brain receptor sites. So
smoking's good for you.
Even with COVID itself or the vaccines,
yeah,
people you would have expected to be most, if one of the cohorts of people you expect to be most often seen in hospital would have been smokers, because they're obviously it affects the respiration, but they weren't. And they've actually found that some of the things you can use is use nicotine gum as a way of blocking the effects of the vaccine, of that particular component of vaccine.
Mm. Listen, there's
another substance called citicoline, CDB choline, and it basically helps protect that receptor site against this venom that's within these genomic sequencing. And I've found that in quite a number of people that I've tested. You know, one of the systems I use, bioresonance testing, basically picks up the energetic frequencies of different pathologies in the body, microorganisms, etc., and it detects where organs are affected. And nearly everybody that I test, their nervous system is significantly affected. And a lot of them, and like these are young people I'm talking about in their 20s, complaining of fatigue, brain fog, you know, having trouble focusing. There's a couple of young guys I'm working with, and you know, once I put them on the right protocols, it improved their cognitive process in 90%, you know. But certainly within, and I don't know, like I've only been using this particular type of bioresonance testing or bioenergetic medicine for about the last 14 months.
Yeah.
Certainly since I started using it, the prevalence of parasites that I'm finding within the body is pretty high. Now,
Let me stop you there. Right. So, you know, quick summary then of the local COVID inquiry is that essentially they're not going to deal with any of the issues. They're going to, the only thing they're going to conclude is we should have locked them down faster, harder, for longer. We should have forced the vaccine mandates, and we should have coerced more people to take it. That's the conclusion, which is why, actually, David, as an FYI, I've considered setting up an alternative COVID inquiry here in Northern Ireland, even if it's just for one evening, whereby the actual victims, the people that you meet and that we all know, can actually tell their story, because that is not going to be shown in the mainstream. But anyway, moving on from that there. So actually, you brought it round very nicely to the issue of parasites, because in terms of, you see, David, one of the things that we don't totally agree on is I don't believe in viruses. I'm convinced they don't exist. I do believe there's other things. I do believe there's pathogens of some sorts. I do believe in bacterium and stuff like that there. But I know, like, over the past 6 months or so, I've started to read a lot of stuff about parasites. And I don't think people understand exactly what parasites are. I see somebody saying that there's somebody said here, what did I say it? That parasites Hydra vulgaris and Trypanosoma cruzi, hope I pronounced that right, were found in the vaccines. So, David, over to you. Tell us about parasites.
So, parasites are basically organisms that live on your body or live in your body and feed off you.
Yeah.
And as they do so, they can quite often cause significant problems because they can poison you in many ways. You can really classify parasites into three groups. You've got ectoparasites. You would have what's called, you would have worms, nematodes, and flukes, which would be a second group. And then the other subgroup would be things like single-cell protozoas. So those are the sort of three main groupings of parasites you find. So when you think of ectoparasites, those are usually parasites that are spread via what we call vectors, like insects. So, for example, you have the Plasmodium parasite which causes malaria, which obviously is spread by mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. Then you would have, there's another type of parasite, is called Leishmania. Now, there's Leishmania tropicalis, there's Leishmania brasiliana. Some of the worst ones, like the Leishmania brasiliana, which is found in, obviously, in Brazil and that sort of subcontinent, and would have originally come from Africa with the slaves. It's spread by sandflies, and it can leave you with life altering disfigurations. You know, it leaves like festering wounds and stuff on you. Mm. And then you would have things like deer ticks, which would spread Borrelia burgdorferi, which is what we call a rickettsia. It's an intracellular parasite, also called Lyme disease.
Lyme disease,
that would be your ectoparasite. And you think of head lice and things like that. And an animal scabies and stuff like that. Those are other ectoparasites. Then within the field of sort of worms, nematodes, and flukes, I know we've got a few pictures set up there. You would have things like Enterobius vermicularis, which is basically pinworm. And every child that I have tested is full of pinworms. And I remember as a child having them. And pinworms, the mother and father pinworm, they reproduce in the colon, and then the daddy parasite, he dies, and then the mummy parasite comes out at night and lays anywhere up to 20,000 eggs around the anus. And that's why a lot of kids would have, you know, itchy anus at night. Mm-hmm. And some of these things, a lot of these parasites are very much more active during the moon phase. They seem to reproduce or be more active. Mm-hmm. Now, unlike other worms, the mother parasite of vermicularis is very slow moving. So, and it releases chemicals as it gets the anus, and that in itself will cause the irritation of the anus. So it'll lay up to 20,000 eggs, and then the child rubbing his little bottom, and then doesn't wash his hands properly, and that gets in the child's underpants, it gets onto the bed clothes, it gets under his fingernails.
Yeah.
Give mommy and daddy a hug next time mommy and daddy have them spread. So it goes to school, class full of kids using the same towel to dry their hands, the eggs get on the hand towel, and then suddenly the whole class is cut. Pinworms. Mm. Now, they're not the worst in terms. Yeah, they're obviously not very pleasant to have. They're an irritation. They're not really going to cause much more than sort of localized or maybe lower colon type issues.
Right. Okay.
Yep. Then you'll have, and that's one of the most common things that I will find. And the next one I would find, which would be fairly common, that shows up in my testing quite often, there'd be a few. There would be hookworms, which is Ancylostoma duodenale.
There we go. It's a catchy name.
Well, that's actually Ascaris lumbricoides. That's actually roundworm. And that is one of the most prevalent ones that I will find when I test. Now, these roundworms, they reproduce, you know, they breed in your gut, they penetrate through the gut wall, and they quite often will get into the bloodstream, and then they will travel in the bloodstream to places like the pancreas or the liver or the gallbladder. And that's where they'll quite often complete their life cycle. And then sometimes, you know, part of their life cycle, they'll start to, the eggs will then spread, and the larvae will spread to the lungs, and, you know, so it can become systemic.
What does it do? What is the effect? What is the consequence of these things, David?
The thing is, any symptoms nearly could be related to having parasitic infestation. You know, from skin rashes to digestive problems. And so most people tend to think, well, if you get worms, it just says localized in the gut. It doesn't. It can spread systemically. Mm-hmm. You have to remember, when a parasite's living inside you, it has to poop and pee. It has to get rid of its toxins the same way that we do. So, and it's those toxins, you know, they produce things like formaldehyde, isopropyl alcohol, ammonia. And these are some of the things that create a lot of the problems. And obviously, if a parasite's living inside you, it's feeding off you. So anemias are quite prevalent. So some people who are infested with parasites will lose a lot of weight. And then some people who are infested with parasites will actually put on a lot of weight because that stimulates their appetite to overeat. Now, I've started work with a young guy who's 10 years of age and he's 12 and a half stone. And now, to be fair, his diet is really poor, but which is one of the problems, because his parents thought they were healthy, giving him a liter of apple juice to drink at school every day, not realizing that there's between 80 and 100 grams of sugar in that, which is 20 to 25 teaspoons of sugar. And this is why parasites like the human body, especially a human body that's fed on a junk diet.
Yep.
Because that provides them high sugars and, processed fats are perfect fuel for parasites.
Yeah.
So things like headaches, just nearly any symptoms, joint pain, arthritis, all of these can be related to parasites. So the important thing is finding out, what else there is. So other parasites that I would tend to find would be, apart from ascaris, vermiculars, I would find other worms I would find would be like Ancylostoma duodenale, which is a hookworm. Then there's, what's the other one, Necator americanus, which is another type of hookworm. Some of these things can grow to be quite long. Now, I haven't really detected many people yet with sort of the likes of pork fluke or beef liver fluke, which can obviously cause damage to the liver. Those haven't shown up in my testing so far.
So what's that? What's that one? Sorry, bring it back. What's that one on screen there, David? What is that?
That's probably one of the hookworms. That's probably Necator americanus. Yeah. So they'll have little hooks that'll burrow onto the inside of the intestines.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you have someone who's extremely constipated,
yes,
has a colon full of poop, that's a perfect environment, a breeding ground for them. But see, not all the times are they breeding in the gut. As I say, if they manage to penetrate through the intestinal wall and get into the bloodstream, they can start reproducing on different organs and different systems in the body.
Yeah.
Now, some of the ones that do tend to, which are more difficult to actually eradicate and have been very strongly linked to the likes of cancer and autoimmune disease, would be more of the sort of protozoa type parasites. So things like Giardia, Diantamoeba, Histolytica, types of Orpostorcus, which is a type of worm. Although it's not a protozoa such as it's a sort of fluke, but it comes from cats. It shows up quite prevalent as well. So some of these there's been lots of work over the last 50, 60 years in relationship to autoimmune disease and cancers. And the fact that parasites may be one of the main players in a lot of these things, because when you actually look at the cancer cells or cancer tumors, it looks very much like encysted eggs or larvae. So when you have parasites inside you, like if you have a mother parasite, that mother parasite could be laying between 20 and 200,000 eggs every day. And when you have a strong immune system, those eggs tend to remain encysted. And the mother parasite will produce a nurturing hormone that keeps them in that particular form.
Yeah.
And when you kill the parasite and the hormone levels drop, then those eggs will hatch and they will then become mother parasites. And suddenly they spread. So think about cancer and how sometimes when someone has a tumor and then they get radio chemotherapy in particular, and the chemotherapy shrinks the tumor, but it overwhelms the immune system that keeps these things in abeyance. Then suddenly, these cysts hatch, and what are metastases? Are they cancer cells that migrate, or are they parasites that migrate to other areas, creating new tumors?
Well,
that's a question we have to ask.
Dave, I just want to say a comment. I see it's been brought in from one of our Donegal viewers. He says ivermectin has been showing promise in treatment of cancers. Some researchers say cancers are parasites and the cells look like eggs, which would explain why ivermectin is effective. How would you respond to that from Joe, David?
I totally concur. I totally agree with him. And that certainly is one of the treatments that I use. It's one of the treatments, interesting though, The ivermectin, which was originally used for treating sleeping sickness, and then was designed, they realized could be used for treating different parasites, like Ascaris and Giardia and vermicularis or pinworm, that it was one of the things that I took, and I think you took it as well over the last 3 years to protect us against COVID.
Yep.
So certainly there are different strategies that we will use in terms of, you know, I use a couple of pharmaceutical medications that I can get on the internet for treating parasitic infestations, as well as more natural methods. But I suppose one of the things, one of the questions you need to ask is, well, how do we get the parasites?
Yeah, how do we?
I think, well, first of all, contaminated food and water is the most obvious. I think also as well, the fact that so many of us travel to foreign countries, especially tropical countries. And not only that, who are coming to live in our country?
Diverse people.
Loads of people, people from tropical countries.
Yeah.
Some who you see defecating in the street, which isn't very pleasant, but they will come infested. And I think a lot of the times our water treatment plants can't remove all of these parasites. So this is another way. Contaminated water is definitely one of those ways. And if you're a child, now the other thing is, if you own pets, pets are full of parasites. Dogs and cats are full of parasites. So you worm your pet, but every time that dog or cat is licking you, it's spreading parasites onto you. And every time you, if you're infested with parasites and you hug and kiss your loved one, or you're, you know, intimate with sexually with someone, you're going to pass parasites to them as well. You know, things like undercooked meat, sushi, pork. Pork's notorious for being full of parasites. So anybody who likes their meat cooked rare, beware. You know, there's a good chance you'll pick up parasites. But if you're eating, I say, I have relatives who would be big sushi eaters, full of parasites. And it's interesting in the culture in Japan, obviously, one of the reasons they give you ginger, because it's a slightly anti-parasitic and anti-inflammatory, but they give you wasabi. The wasabi's with that to kill the parasites as well. So if you have animals or you work around animals, if you play sport on a grassy field and the dogs and the cats have been running around pooping on it, you're going to pick up parasites. So if you're a rugby player, soccer player, hurley player, Gaelic player, good chance you're going to pick up parasites from the playing fields that you're playing on. So it's not surprising that they reckon 80 to 85% of us will have had parasites at some time in our life, or may have parasites. And certainly it shows up quite prevalently when I'm testing people. Now, the thing is, if you go to your GP and he does a poop test, the chances of him finding eggs, are particularly from things like nematodes, worms and flukes, they may catch them. Most of the time, they will not catch them in that poop sample. They may catch it around the moon phase when they're more prevalent in their reproductive system. They may not. And even, and this is the key thing, so I use quantitative PCR testing. I use a laboratory in Germany, so they use PCR testing for testing, you know, the microbiome for the good bacteria, the bad bacteria, yeast, fungi, parasites. So most often, they won't pick up the parasites. They may pick up some of them. They, you know, they may pick up Blastocystis, which is another protozoa. They may pick up occasionally Deinthamoeba. But a lot of the parasites and worms, they don't pick up, because sometimes they're not in the poop because they've already invaded the body and they're reproducing somewhere else. That's why I like, you know, for my clients that can't afford it, if you want a more comprehensive sort of way of analyzing and see if they've got parasites, you really need to be doing not just quantitative PCR, you need to be doing bioresonance testing. Now, with bioresonance testing, we pick up the frequencies of the parasites. So it'll detect it where it won't show up in other testing. So a lot, you know, and one of the important things I think is recently on Facebook, there's been a guy advertising parasite cleanses, which involve you know, so there's different type of antiparasitics. So there's ivermectin, there's labendazole, albendazole, fembendazole. There's another one that's nitrosamine, I think it is, that's used to clean out fish tanks because of the parasites found in fish tanks called Hydra. You know,
I know.
So
them, yeah.
There are people selling these antiparasitic medications. The thing is, when you start killing parasites and they start to die, they will release lots of toxins. So you should never do a parasite cleanse until you have opened up what we call the channels of detoxification.
Okay.
So if you have an intracellular parasite, okay, say your Giardia has got into your cells or into your organs, and you start killing it and it starts to release poisons, you know, you've got to be able to get that from the cell through the lymphatic system. So your lymphatics have to be working well. Then that goes to your liver. Your liver is your main organ of detoxification. So if your liver is not functioning properly to break down a lot of the toxins, you know, especially things like, as I said, when they're pooping in pain and they're releasing these things called endotoxins, you know, you need to have what's called phase one and phase two and phase three detoxification working properly. Otherwise, you make the person more toxic and sick. And quite often what you'll find is it'll come out that, you know, they may get extreme headaches, more fatigue, extreme skin rashes, like histamine reactions, which has actually happened to one of my clients recently. And I did warn him. And we did did 3 or 4 weeks prep before we started, but still he got like a lot of rashes and stuff when we used the antiparasitics with him. So it's really important that you get the lymphatics working properly. Ways that you can stimulate the lymphatics, things like dry skin brushing, a thing called rebounding, where you bounce up and down on the trampoline, and that moves the lymphatic fluid. It's obviously important that you drink, you're well hydrated as well. I use liver support. I use gallbladder support because I find a lot of parasites building up in the gallbladder. So you need to make sure that the bile is flowing freely. You need to make sure that their bowels are evacuating, you know, because that's the main way you're going to eliminate your parasites is going to be through your bowels. So you've got to make sure that all these pathways are open and primed to be able to remove the parasites. So sometimes, you know, so I see people advertising these antiparasitic products, but they don't take into account everything you need to do before and after you use that parasitic cleanse, because you're just going to make that person more sick. In fact, the key thing is you have to remember as well, like if you go to your pharmacist and he prescribes, you know, your doctor has prescribed Ovax, which is mebendazole for pinworms, they'll give it one course. But you have to remember you have a mother parasite, you've got larvae, you've got encysted eggs, you've got this different stages of the life cycle. So when you kill the mother parasite and the larvae are released or the eggs are released and you haven't continued to kill, then you're just going to infest the person even more. And this is the thing that amazes me, you know. So they'll give you one dose of mebendazole. You know, you really need to be doing like a month prep and then maybe a month's parasite cleanse. So what I tend to use, I will use ivermectin and fembendazole as the primary antiparasitics. And then what I'll maybe do is I'll maybe run that for a week. Then I'll maybe run a course of more natural antiparasitic agents. So there's lots of things in nature that are antiparasitic. So you have black walnut, you have neem, you have cloves, you have wormwood, which is Artemisia.
Yes,
you
I
have
use
garlic.
That. Yep.
You have oregano, you have berberine, you have pumpkin seed. You know, so a lot of my combined formulas will have this, which are a bit gentler in the system. So I'll maybe run a week on ivermectin and fembendazole, and then maybe I'll do a week on a natural antiparasitic, and then I'll go back and do another week and maybe do that for a month. Then I'll retest them to see if it's showing up the frequencies, if the parasites are still there or they're not. And it's an ongoing process. You might get rid of the parasites this time, but there's a good chance you're going to get reinfected. So you have to think about doing it again. So, and all one of the things is it's really important not only to open up those pathways of detoxification, you have to build up and strengthen the immune system. So you have to make sure that those immune boosting protective bacteria in the gut are well supported as well. So I will use a lot of probiotics as well.
Mm-hmm.
Other things as well that, you know, parasites obviously want to protect themselves from being destroyed. So whether it's, you know, fungi or yeasts or molds or parasites, quite often they will produce things called biofilms. They're like little protective, they're like little igloos that they hide behind that our immune system has trouble getting at. So there are certain things like NAC, apple cider vinegar can help. And proteolytic enzymes, which are enzymes that break down and digest proteins. You know, so our digestive system, you know, is a challenge for parasites to come in through the mouth. You know, if you have strong stomach acid, that's your first line of defense against any orally ingested parasite. So a lot of people have low stomach acid. And then when the parasite, if it managed to evade the stomach acid and goes into the small intestine, you have enzymes called proteolytic enzymes that digest proteins. Then again, if you have a weak, if you've got a weak pancreas, you might break those down as well. So there are these things that called proteolytic enzymes that help break that down. So you have to support the digestive function, the elimination processes, breaking down biofilms, and supporting the gut immune system as well. And all of these things really need to be in place before you think about going in for a full-blown parasitic cleanse. But these people are selling products specifically to do one thing, but without considering how the ramifications for how the body functions as a whole.
You know, it's interesting because, I mean, just from what you've been saying, Les, David, you know, it would strike me that an awful lot of, one of our friends here, Republican Rocker, says, I've been taking probiotics daily for several years. Also, our friend Angela says, when she lived out in, I gave my kids worming medicine when we lived in Malaysia. Yes, Angela. I mean, David, it seems to me that a lot of the things that are illnesses that, we have, that we human beings have, a lot of them do seem to me, from even what you've been saying, you know, to have origins in parasites. But if you go to mainstream GPs and all the rest of it, the likelihood is that they won't be treated in that way, even if, because if the number one, if they don't even recognize what the things are or the symptoms, or they misdiagnose them, then, I mean, it just makes me think that, and this is a point of view, information for everybody listening this to this, David does provide a kind of like a deep dive analysis, and you can get that over on, we'll bring up David's website in a second. You can contact David and you can get, I've had it done on myself, as David knows, an analysis of all that's inside me. And you can have it done for you as well. As I said, it's very, very, David's kind of cutting edge in this one, folks. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world. You don't have to be in Northern Ireland or Ireland. You can be anywhere, David, and you can help people with a lot of this stuff. So, but yeah, it just strikes me that, again, we've talked so much, David, over the past 3 years about how, you know, sort of mainstream medicine doesn't really get to grips, and doctors aren't trained to get to grips with these issues that even that we've been chatting about the parasites.
Well, it's not even that, David. It's just the very fact that a doctor spends 6 hours learning nutrition in their 6 hour training. You know, so what's the root cause of, the basic root cause of most illnesses is inflammation caused due to insulin dysregulation and inflammation. So that's the root cause of all diseases, there's inflammation. So first thing everybody needs to do is clean their diet up. But then what do we see when we go into the supermarkets? You're penalized for eating healthily, and you're rewarded for buying bulk crap designed to keep you sick. So big pharma and big food want to work together, you know.
Yes,
type 2 diabetes and many other diseases, even type 1 diabetes. And some people, now I haven't personally had the opportunity to try it, but and some people, obviously it depends on how much destruction there are to, you know, the pancreatic cells that's making the insulin. But, you know, there's a lot of these autoimmune diseases that can be reversed. And generally you'll find, yeah, there is a genetic predisposition to a lot of these things, but then there's all of these other factors that cause a dysfunctioning immune system.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you not think the big pharma knows the parasites are a major driving factor in cancer when it's a multi-trillion industry? when you can use a product that's off patent, cost pennies, and they did it with COVID. They did it with ivermectin, and they did it with hydroxychloroquine. Like hydroxychloroquine is used.
Yep.
Hydroxychloroquine is used to treat rheumatoid arthritis. Sorry, yeah. He's trying to ring me here. So
big pharma.
You know, they knew. Yeah. So they knew from the beginning that, you know, within 3 or 4 months, they found they could repurpose ivermectin hydroxychloroquine, and probably it could have prevented 80% of the deaths. In fact, the poorer countries,
India.
I can't remember what. Yes, Uttar Pradesh. There was two states in India. One went down the route of using the COVID vaccines. The other went down the route of using ivermectin.
Yeah.
And the mortality rates in the state of the ivermectin was pretty negligible.
Yeah.
In fact, when they used ivermectin in Japan, they had the same. In fact, there is queries that because the Prime Minister of Japan was against the vaccination program, was that the reason he was taken out?
Yeah.
Multi-trillion industry that would be brought to his knees by off-patent, cheap, easily available anti-parasitic medications. It's a money game. That's what it is. And that's the sad thing. And in fact, most of these, like if you think about most of these antiparasitics, like hydroxychloroquine comes from quinine.
Yeah, that's right.
They believe ivermectin was actually developed from a herb called neem. So most of these medications that we see in pharmaceutical form were actually discovered and derived from botanical extracts, except you can't copy nature. God in his amazing power has given us everything that we need. Like, we know that B17 is one of the best anti-cancer treatments. Yet if you're caught, they can't stop you eating apricot kernels. But if they catch you selling apricot kernel extract, which is B17 or latril in America, straight to jail.
Well, you see. And I mean, you're saying, I mean, the cancer conversation is really interesting because I think probably everybody watching this, David, or listening to this later, will have in their circle, family circle, there will be people who have been affected by cancer. And of course, if you're living in the UK, folks, in the past 4 or 5 months, well, King Charles, he's got cancer, and Princess Catherine, well, she's got cancer, but we don't know what it is. And what is our friend Albert Bourla from Pfizer saying? Their next big wave of blockbuster drugs is going to be mRNA cancer jabs. So they're going to use the same tech that they put into the COVID jabs for cancer, which seems to me to be completely ignoring everything that you've just said. But basically a replay of what we had back in 2020. How do you respond to Pfizer's blockbuster cancer mRNA jabs as a way of dealing with the issues?
Well, prior to COVID, apparently, the only mRNA technology that was used, according to Dr. Lee Mert, who's she was an orthopedic surgeon within the American Navy. And she said that the only mRNA vaccine that they had prior to this was to treat some sort of ophthalmological condition that cost millions of pounds. So suddenly, how did it become so cheap and available? Because I don't believe... You know, whenever the alternative laboratories have done a deep dive looking at the contents of what's in these vaccines, most of which the contents are redacted in the Pfizer and Moderna schedules, there's stuff in it that's not been disclosed, like graphene oxide, like hydrogels, lipid nanoparticles.
Oh, yeah.
They found significant levels of heavy metals that shouldn't be there. They found, these hydrogels. You know, what has this got? But they didn't find mRNA. They found DNA plasmids. So it's interesting what will be in these mRNA shots that they're supposedly creating to induce it. But the other thing is interesting. I was actually looking at the mechanisms of action of fenbendazole. Fenbendazole, there's three primary actions, two of which are really interesting. One is, you know, the theory of apoptosis, where a cell reaches, you know, reproduces so many times and then it's meant to self-destruct.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, that's apoptosis. So fenbendazole induces apoptosis. It stops things called beta tubulin forming, And this is how it kills the parasite, but kills the cancer cell. And the third thing is it actually blocks the cells or the parasite's ability to absorb sugar. So cancer cells consume up to 200 times more sugar than healthy cells.
Yes.
So, you know, this is why some things like there's been a drive to encourage people to go fasting, because fasting induces apoptosis. They tell people to get off sugar because sugar feeds cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but these are mechanisms that can be used that are safe and effective and cheap.
Safe
when you have an industry that's worth trillions.
Mm.
Oh, sorry about that. So this is what we're up against. And I think I haven't, you know, we've had this discussion about viruses, and I'm not that I don't agree with what you're saying. I just haven't worked out the mechanism by which, if it is our cells being toxic, detoxifying, how other members of the household can still seem to get sick as a result of that. I don't know. I haven't come across something that gives me substantial understanding. So whilst I can't, I won't, because I don't know. But I'm open to learning new and different things all the time, because that is what science is meant to be about. You know, when they stand up there and pontificate, we are the science, and yet they will not have a debate amongst other scientists.
Yeah.
And it's the same whether it's over COVID or whether it's over climate change. That then tells you follow our narrative or else.
Yeah.
And well, our narrative is all about scamming money off you and controlling you.
Well, that's right. Now, I had on with me, David, a couple of weeks back, I had David Parker and Don Lester, the authors of the book, a really key book, What Really Makes You Sick. And regardless of, you know, they're of the same view as me. Viruses do not exist. But the other things do. And it's plain from even what you've been telling us tonight, David, in this short time, that parasites are a major contributor to what can be our ill health, you know. And what bothers me is, rather than trying to come to terms with these problems and natural solutions, instead, as you say, we've got a massive big pharma, huge corporations like Pfizer and whatnot, and they're going to continue going down mRNA platforms. And that worries me, because, you know, I mean, I'm suspicious of King Charles and, as you know, Princess Catherine. I'm worried about that, because if you set this whole thing up and we discover, oh, Charles is better now because he took the mRNA shots, instantly millions of people could go out and get them, even though I would wonder about the benefits from mRNA shots. And I wonder about benefits from chemo and radio. What do you think about those things?
Well, certainly, my mother decided to go down the road of chemotherapy, and she's still undergoing treatment, and she's doing quite well. I would have liked her to try alternative support. It's very difficult, you know, when you're a naturopath and your brother's a retired doctor, and there's a certain generational thing where the older population still hold doctors in high esteem and trust them with all their heart.
Yeah, I know. You're right. You're right, David. Yeah.
And that is the thing. It's like, I think more and more younger people are a little bit more questioning, but the older generation just accept. Although saying that, eventually my father, I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago, once my uncle was diagnosed with 2 bleeds in the brain. And I have been hammering on. I said, Dad, told you, and he said, and he actually acknowledged that he thinks I'm right. And he said, I won't be taking any more boosters. And I said, well, that's good, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you know, my mum and dad have benefited in many ways from certain aspects of the NHS. Plus, it's quite good. In many respects, it's reasonably good genetics in my family. Like my grandmother lived to 96. My wee granny lived to 96. My granddad lived to 90. My other granny lived to 90. But then there's other sides of the family who died much younger than that. So, like, my dad's 87 on Friday, and I'm very blessed, or Thursday, I'm very blessed to have him. My mum's coming 83. You know, but then I got a lot of their you know, they're riddled with arthritis. And a lot of their arthritic problems were from years of using nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories. So my mum used nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories for years. She ended up with kidney disease. She's on blood pressure medication. She got damaged kidneys. Of course, the first place that the cancer affected her with her non-Hodgkin's lymphoma was her kidneys and kidney failure because of excess calcium building up in the bloodstream. But when she went to the hospital, she said, oh, your vitamin D levels are too high. That was what caused this. And I'm like, you know.
But, this is so, yeah, because David, when people are in the face, and this is, I mean, I know it's very personal because we're talking about your parents. And it probably applies, though, to everybody. You know, when a family member has one of these conditions, you know, there's so much stress is involved and everyone wants the person to be better. It's just that when they go to certain places for advice, and we're not giving advice tonight, folks, we're just giving information. You make up your minds. But they go to these, some of these traditional places, and they're put on pathways, which I've got big problems with, to be honest. But again, you know, if, well, my parents are gone, David, but if they were still here and if one of them had gotten a cancer, I'd be obviously wanting them to get the best possible treatment. But post-COVID, my big takeout, and it's the one you and I discuss on a regular basis when we have our regular monthly lunches together, you know, I've got like almost next to zero confidence in what I call fake stream medicine. Pretty much almost. Yeah, if I fall and I break my arm, they'll fix it, probably. Although in my local hospital, they've been known to fix the wrong arm of some people who have gone in. But, you know,
one of, you know,
David, but not for a lot of things. I don't have any confidence left in them.
You know, in terms of Northern Ireland, one of the benefits of the Troubles was that Northern Ireland became a centre of excellence for emergency medicine and dealing with burns and things like that.
Yeah.
But in terms of chronic disease, it's ridiculous. You know, one of the things I have to people, everything in your body exists as a courtesy to everything else.
Yes.
So when you get inflamed adenoids and tonsils as a child, they tick them out. Well, that's part of your mucosal associated lymphoid tissue. That's part of your immune system. You get an infected appendix. Instead of trying to treat the problem, they immediately just want to go in and chop it out. They used to say that your appendix is a vestigial organ. It was something that through evolution we don't use anymore. No, it's not. It's part of your gut associated lymphoid tissue. When they go in and you've got inflamed gallbladder, oh, let's chop your gallbladder out. Well, everybody gets their gallbladder out, has significant problems with gut health thereafter. They can't digest their fats. They can't digest their fat soluble vitamins. They get chronic bowel problems. They get diarrhea. They get a condition called SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Because everything is there because God wanted it to be there. So stop chopping bits out.
What about gallstones then? They take them out surgically, gallstones, don't they?
They can, but you can also break them down naturally. You can do things like gallbladder cleanses. Now, I've never done one myself, but it's certainly one of the things we were taught as naturopaths, you know, using things like olive oil and Epsom salts and apple juice, and that helps break it down. I personally use a supplement called Tuca, which is deoxycyclic acid, and it thins the bile. So if you can keep the bile thin, it's not going to turn into stones. And obviously, for, you know, because your liver, when it does all of its detoxification, as I say, it detoxifies. First of all, there's phase one detoxification where it breaks down toxins that it can make water soluble, so you'll eliminate them when you pee. Then it converts it, and if it can't do that, it'll convert it into an intermediate, which is more toxic. And then it uses a phase three, which is a conjugation, so it binds it with another molecule to make it more stable. So processes like glucuronidation, sulfation, sulfoxidation, methylation, all of these processes occur in phase three. And those waste products are then eliminated along with the bile into the intestinal tract to be eliminated when you poop. So you have to make sure your gallbladder is working properly. You have to support liver function. I always, you know, I like the odd drink. So, you know, I always take my liver support.
Yeah.
I always take my liver support and my Tuca. I think those are really important supplements to take.
Yes.
You know, but, and then, you know, so there's so many things can affect our health. And certainly one of the things, not even related to parasites, but one of the things that I'm sure more and more people are aware of are the chemtrails that they're spraying. And they're not just spraying these chemicals to cause cloud seeding with silver iodide and induce rain and change the weather patterns. They're actually full of bacterial toxins and heavy metals. Like so many more people, I think, over the last 6 months who are aware of chemtrails are also aware of how many more upper respiratory conditions they've had, how much more nasal issues, chest issues, breathing issues that they've had. You know, so we do know, and I think it's pretty, for those of us who actually do a deep dive, we do know that they're going to start putting these mRNA, whatever they call it, or whatever toxins into the food chain. The next thing is they're now trying to use the excuse that bird flu has got into cattle and it's being spread through cattle into other animals as a vector. I think these are all man-made and fabricated. We know that they want to destroy the food chain. They want to literally have us on our knees eating insects. You know, they want to kill off as many animals, like you know, and this is what we're being bombarded with, not to mention the multiple thousands of chemicals that we're exposed to on a daily basis through our washing powders, air fresheners, and then on top of that you have 5G coming in. And this is one of the interesting things that a lot of these other commentators are saying about these artificially intelligently created hydrogel parasites.
Yeah,
we applied an electrical frequency to that. That's when they start to organize and become more toxic to the body. And certainly we've seen slides of graphene oxide where it can also seem to organize into nanobots.
I remember reading
there's a fictional novel that was written about 20 years ago by Michael Crichton called Prey, and it's all about nanobots. And they were telling us, they've been telling us through the media, well, mainly through books and through movies.
Predictive programming. Yeah, predictive
programming. Telling us what they're going to do.
In fact, actually, David,
just watch The Simpsons Show.
but how did your man get, how did that, was it Matt Grosh or whatever he's called, how did he get all that information? I wonder.
33 degree.
Oh, I think that 33 comes into it. Yeah. But you know, the thing about it is that see a comment here. Angela says, wasn't quinine in tonic water? Yeah, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's exactly what tonic water is. It's quinine. And obviously it was used for things like muscle cramps as well in your legs. But that's exactly where they derived hydroxychloroquine from. You know, it's just a derivative molecule of quinine. And I said, I read somewhere that ivermectin was actually developed from neem. You know, so nature has all these amazing molecules. Like, we only know a fraction of it. If you go into places like the Amazon, and that's where a lot of the big farmers spend their time, and these indigenous forests and countries that are beyond our reach, but that's where they do a lot of their research, and that's where they find these things. But you can't reproduce. You can maybe reproduce one of the synthetic molecules, but you can't reproduce the cascade of molecules that accompanies them. It's like the entourage effect. It's like you need more than one to have the overwhelming effect in the body. That's why whenever you're doing a parasite cleanse, using as many different avenues of attack is going to get you the best results, you know. So using, you know, some of, because ivermectin and fenbendazole are fairly well tolerated, they're fairly non-toxic, but then using the natural things, as I say, like neem and pumpkin seeds and black walnut and things like that, you know, they will attack the parasites. And you know, some of them are to stop the parasites adhering to the cells, some of them are to stop them reproducing, some of them are to starve them, you know. So as many of these things as possible is going to get you the greater effect if you can hit it from as many angles as possible. But you always have to make sure that the person's immune system can cope with it. And I think that's the thing. One of the things they found with the COVID shots were one of the main detrimental effects that it has is that it downregulates the immune system through things called the toll-like receptor sites. So if the TLRs 3 and 4 and 7 or 8 are knocked out of sync, so they're not functioning properly, sleeping viruses or whatever it is seems to become more prevalent, because we've definitely seen an increase in shingles, Guillain-Barré syndrome, cytomegalovirus, which is a herpes type virus affecting the liver. And I pick up a lot of these too when I'm testing, whatever the frequencies are, but they're showing up in nearly everybody who's had the vaccines. And there's definitely shedding going on. So, you know, every time my fiance comes into contact with someone who's had a lot of shots or recent shots, she starts to have bleeding, and she's on a pill to stop her having bleeding, and has been for 10 years. But then ever since the shots came out, she would, like, maybe a month ago, she had another 3 days. She just started bleeding from no. And we know it's like a warning sign. I'm just, well, who were you around that has had these shots? Because that's what's triggering it off. Mm-hmm. And they found that a lot of the problems with the shots, that it is affecting the reproductive system. You know, I'm sorry to go away from the parasites, but it sort of comes back to COVID again anyway. You know, like, they're now saying that Greece has one of the lowest birth rates in years and one of the highest death rates. There was no live births in Italy in the first 3 months of this year. So they're depopulating us through this as well, not just by reducing our reproductive capacity, but also by killing us off earlier, because our immune systems aren't able to cope. This is where the turbo cancers are coming from. So it'd be interesting, is the turbo cancers the fact our immune systems are so suppressed that the parasitic infestations that are part of the metastases or part of the tumors are actually causing, you're just released at such a rate, and a weakened immune system just can't deal with it.
Yeah, because the speed of these turbo cancers has been like a new phenomenon, hasn't it, really? Like, it's, you know, we've talked about it, David, so often, people who just suddenly get a diagnosis of turbo cancer and they're gone, maybe 8 weeks, less even. Yeah, I don't ever remember that from the past.
So at the very, very early stages of the COVID shots, there was already studies coming out from Japan and South Korea showing the effect that they were having on the microbiome. And there's just another paper has come out showing that categorically, your beneficial immune-supporting bifidobacteria are significantly reduced by having the COVID shots. So everybody who's had the COVID shots has to be taking lots of probiotics and prebiotics to try and rebuild that system. And obviously, so we don't know, you know, are the spike proteins as we think they are when you look at the coronavirus, the little projections, or are there these parasites with, like, sort of like prongs that stick out? I think we can help detoxify these systemically by using certain proteolytic enzyme products, you know. So, you know, one of the protocols that they're using to treat spike proteins, and I think probably, and it obviously it's anti-parasitic effect as well, as using quercetin, using natokinase, which is a fermented proteolytic enzyme from fermented soya beans or natto, using curcumin, which is anti-inflammatory.
Yes.
And what's the other one that I can't remember? There's another one we use as well. Can't remember, but bromelain. The bromelain is a proteolytic enzyme found in pineapples. So there are protocols to break a lot of these spike proteins and potentially other whatever there is. And then there's obviously these, you have to detoxify from the heavy metals, the graphene oxide and stuff as well. So using things like fulvic acid and zeolite and stuff like that is probably useful to use as well.
I think there's a lot of positive stuff here as well, because as you said, David, and you've said it several times, that nature basically provides us with pretty much everything that we need. Big Pharma provides us with stuff that's highly questionable, and I'll leave it no more stronger than that, but any of you who follow me know my views on this. And I think that, you know, folks, if you've enjoyed listening to David, and I mean, he's such a source of knowledge, do check out, if we just bring up David's, here we go, the Healthy Gut Guru over on the Facebook. David, is there a website people can get you on, or is it mostly Facebook they should go to get you on?
Just find me on Facebook or Instagram and message me there. It's probably the best way. That's something I really need to just get a website up. So,
and of course, the times. And listen, for those who watch this over on Twitter, you can see David. He's at Davey Gut Guru. You can contact him then. You could follow him. And as I say, I take positivity from all of this. You know, we've lived through probably the biggest scam ever in human history. And David, you and I got together at the beginning of it, and we've come through it. And as you say, we're fighting many other things as well. Here we go. This is on, is this Instagram? I've got to say.
Yeah.
Instagram.
Just one up. Yeah. Just one other thing. I will. Oh, that was me when I was competing.
That's me. That one there is me. But yeah, that's David's Instagram. You can get him on Instagram as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Just one other thing. And I think it's really, really important to say to people, because a lot of people won't have thought about this. See, when you go to the toilet and you do a number two,
yeah,
make sure to put down the lid when you flush the toilet.
Because of the bacteria.
Things like that, washing your hands properly, you know, those are areas, especially if you're around animals and you're around kids, or you're working out in the mud and the sand, those are the things you have to know. And obviously filter your water. That is the number one thing everybody needs to do. Minimally, a good quality jug filter, which doesn't really remove a lot. You can get an under sink filter, which will remove maybe 98-99% of stuff. You can get a whole of house water filter system that will filter all the water in the house. If anybody's looking any information, I have a really good friend, Barry McGillion, who does all of these systems. I have a system called a Kangen water system.
I've seen it.
Filters the water. It does filter the water. That's not its main benefit, because it changes the pH of the water. And obviously cancer cells thrive in an acidic pH. So if you're drinking alkaline water, if you keep your body alkalized, it stops cancer cells reproducing as well. So the key thing is, eat good quality food. Drink good quality water. Minimize your intake of pharmaceutical medications. Support your body with the supplements that you can afford that are necessary. Now, I spend a fortune on supplements. That's my way of going mad. People walk in and say, oh, my goodness. But look, your health is your wealth. And people need to understand, we do not have a national health service in Ireland or the UK. We have a national, poorly functional national disease service that does not pick up and detect a lot of the health problems. That's why you need to go down the road of working with a functional health practitioner, someone who specializes in bioresonance therapy, functional testing, somebody who's a well-trained and knowledgeable naturopath or nutritionist. That's going to give you, if you have chronic health issues, that's your way forward. Now, for acute things, if I had a severe injury, yeah, you do want to go to a doctor who's trained in dealing with those things. But for chronic issues, there are better ways to get a better result. It means you have to work, there's not a pill for every ill. And people need to get out of the notion that when they go to the doctors and they're prescribed medication, that's like driving a car with the red lights flashing on the dash saying there's a problem, and going to your mechanic and say, switch off the red lights, they're annoying me. You have to find out the root cause of the problem and deal with it that way. Yep. But those are the basic foundations. And most people, it's amazing how many people don't know what healthy food is. They don't realize the damage that too much sugar and processed seed oils, which are two of the predominant things in ultra-processed food, the damage that does to health, notwithstanding being exposed to bacteria, viruses, and parasites, which are another area that we need to do. But in order to deal with all of those, you always have to get the foundations right. Clean water, good food.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, David, and we don't have time to go into it now, but, if you go down the whole, if you look back over the last 100 and maybe 30 years, and you look at many of these so-called diseases like measles and whooping cough and, scarlet fever and stuff, and they all pretty much vanished once good sanitation came in, proper hygiene, better nutrition, less toxic living environments, London being a great example. I mean, the filth that ran through the streets of London, no wonder that people became very ill. So as you said, it's just, once you have the information, and I can say, folks, to everyone listening, that I do listen to David, I take his advice, I drink alkaline water, folks, pH 9.0, I'm the better for it. And as I say, if you want to get more advice particular to you, then please reach out to David and the various different platforms. And as I said, you'll find it very useful. Right. Right, folks. That's it from David, the two Davids, the two Ronnies, the two Davids. Thanks to David McCollum for joining us tonight. Thanks, all of you. I've seen lots of you joined in the show tonight. That's great. Thank you so much for being here. We'll be back on Thursday night for a live podcast. So if you want to join us then for the lols, do that. And then next week, there's not a live show next Monday. There is one Wednesday week, and it's all about the sinking of the Lusitania. But I'm joined by Mr. James Dreyfus. And if you think that what we discussed regarding the sinking of the Titanic was interesting, just wait to hear all the stuff regarding the Lusitania. Excellent stuff coming up next week. So, but anyway, David, that's been great from you tonight. Thanks so much. Thanks, everybody. And we'll be back soon. Thanks, everyone. Good night.